happy May the 4th to you. May the 4th, Star Wars Day. Welcome back to Less Than 12 Parsecs. Less Than 12 Parsecs, formerly the fastest Star Wars podcast in the galaxy. Not anymore. No. This is an all-new, all-different, all-more awesomer episode, life, if you will, of Less Than 12 Parsecs. What the heck are you talking about, Tim? You're asking. I know you're asking that. But let me tell you guys, you know me. I'm Tim McMahon. I've been your host since day one. But last fall, life intervened. I had to step back, and you know what? I was hoping maybe I could bring Less Than 12 Parsecs back someday at some point. That day hasn't come yet. And you know what? I decided there's younger kids out there. There's some young punks, some bucks ready to run with this thing. You know some of them. My old good pal, Ryan Dassing. Ryan, are you there, sir?
Yes, I am, Tim.
Ryan, you want to tell folks what's happening in Less Than 12 Parsecs? I feel like I'm passing the torch to you, so I want you and your buddies to explain the situation.
So you offered me the show about 6 months ago, and I said, I can't do that. I'm not a tech guy. I have no equipment. I talk on my phone through Skype. I have nothing like that. So I got a bunch of my guys from my garrison, old line, and they heard you offered me the show and go, what are you talking about? Why'd you turn that down? I said, because I can't do it. And he said, one of my buddies said, well, I can do it. And I said, well, then let's do it. So here we are.
Well, Ryan, who's your buddy?
So I want to introduce you to the new host of Less Than 12 Parsecs, Mr. Jeremy Bender.
Hey, how's everybody doing out there?
And Mr. Charles Singer.
How's it going, people? We're going to bring you something good.
So, yeah, nice. So thank you, Tim, for passing the torch, and we will take it and we will run with it.
Yeah,
this is you do you some justice. You know, you did a great job kicking this program off, so we just hope to carry the torch for you.
Hey, no, I'm proud to pass it on to some 501st members. You guys are awesome, and I can't wait to see and hear what you do. Yeah, but let's tell the folks who know Less Than 12 Parsecs as the fastest Star Wars podcast in the galaxy. You know, episodes 2 to 5 minutes in length, 3 or 4 times a day. You guys are going in a different route, from what I understand. Still carrying on the Less Than 12 Parsecs name, but doing something a little different. Want to tell people what your thoughts are, what your goals are, what your plans are for the show?
Yeah, sure. So we're going to kick it off with basically the news update, current events, what's going on in the world of Star Wars. You know, what's the mouse got planned for us? Then we're going to get into some theories, discuss fan theories, what's coming next. Obviously, with the Episode 9 trailer dropping, we've got tons of fan theories that are making it out on Reddit, among other places. So we're going to get in some in-depth conversation about those, what we think the legitimacy is. Is it possible? After that, we're going to talk to some people involved with Star Wars, involved with the 501st, armor makers, different types of collectible makers, just people involved in the history of Star Wars. And then we're going to close out each show with a section we call the Cantina. The Cantina will be a review of some type of Star Wars-related alcohol, adult beverages, if you will.
A.K.A. Ryan gets to drink.
We all get to drink. So as the show goes on, hopefully we can still keep it together.
Wow, you guys are packing a lot into only 5 minutes, right?
Actually, no. We're gonna try to. The goal right now is to publish one podcast a month, and we're gonna shoot for over an hour, probably hour and 20 minutes. So for those of you who have nice long commutes, you get something to listen to the whole time, and we'll see where it goes from there. If there's a demand for more, we'll certainly do our best to publish as often as we can.
That's awesome. You guys, it sounds like a lot of fun. I'm jealous that the three of you, you told me before we started recording, you're all in the same room. I think podcasts where folks are all together, you can hear it. You can tell. And I look forward to being your first subscriber, your first fan, your first follower. Count me in, gentlemen. I will be there every step of the way.
Fantastic. Ooh. We appreciate it. You know, you have an open invitation. So if you want to come on and talk shop.
You don't know what you're in for, man. You open that open, you don't know what you're in for.
Hey, it's all good. The more theories, the more in-depth conversation we can have and explore, the better. And then, you know, we might just have to package up a cold drink and some dry ice and send it up your way to join us.
I appreciate that. Well, gentlemen, it is May the 4th. It's Star Wars Day. I can't think of a better day on the calendar to pass along Less Than 12 Parsecs to you guys. Again, I just want to say thanks for carrying on this legacy, this little project I started. I really appreciate it. And I just want to say thank you to all listeners who were there from the beginning, and I hope you all stick around for the awesome new generation, the next generation, not to reference Star Trek, but, you know, the other Star franchise, the new guys here at Less Than 12 Parsecs. So thank you, everybody. Thank you once again. And I think that's it. Force Ghost time for me. I'm fading away. I'm becoming one with the Force. Look at me. I'm Luke Skywalker. Toodaloo.
Thanks, Sam.
See ya.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Less Than 12 Parsecs. I'm sure you're wondering all the new voices here. So just a couple introductions. I am Jeremy, one of your new hosts. I am here with my buddies here, Ryan Dassing.
What's up?
And Charles Singer.
How's it going, people?
So welcome to the new format of Less Than 12 Parsecs. Just want to give you guys a quick rundown on the background of us, and since we're taking over this show. Myself, been a 501st member here, coming up on 2 years. Always love Star Wars. I love getting into the costume design, costume making. I make a lot of my own armor, a lot of my own soft parts. Unfortunately, I know how to sew, which means everybody calls me. But it's all good. So I enjoy that aspect, the makeup, you know, prosthetic design, stuff like that. And I'd love to get into speculation before the movie comes out, what's going to happen, and see how closely I can guess to what actually happens. Ryan, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, unlike Jeremy, I can't build anything. So I am the buyer of the 501st of the Old Line Garrison. And I'm okay with that. I can glue some things here and there. I'm okay with that. But I've been a member of the 501st Old Line Garrison for a little bit over 2 years now. And I guess I'm just a resident alcoholic here on this sub, I guess. And I'm okay with that as well.
That works.
Comes to me, the old man. No, not really. I'm not old. Well, sort of.
Kind
of. Yes, Charles here. I've been in 501st since, was it 2006? So I've been around for a minute or two. Seen many changes in the garrison, many changes in the Legion. Some are good, some are bad, some are what the hell. I can pretty much build anything you give me. I can come up with solutions to build anything.
Charles is our resident 3D printing expert.
I get lucky sometimes.
Tell you, I need more printers. That's his excuse. If he can't do it, I need more printers.
That's it. More printers. I always need more printers. I hope you guys will stick around, listen to what we have to say or come up with. We'll try to make it entertaining as possible for you guys. We might get a little off balance once in a while because we're going to be getting into some weird things, but nothing too crazy. But sit back, relax, and enjoy the show, I guess.
Good deal. So, our show format, as we briefly talked about with Tim, current events, news. We're going to jump right into theories of the day. Talk to a couple armor makers along the way. For those of you who like to build your armor or buy collectibles, something that you can display, we'll talk to those kind of folks and talk about their process, what they do, who they are, how long they've been in business, what their passion is for their business, what they produce, and how you can get a hold of them. And then, of course, close out the show with everybody's favorite, the Cantina, in which we will review a Star Wars-themed alcoholic beverage of the week, of the month, whatever it may be. So we're looking forward to that part of it, of course. We may be sipping on things throughout the show. So we'll go from there. I'm ready to jump right into it. How about you guys?
Let's do it.
All right. So Star Wars in the news. Obviously, Celebration just ended. Unfortunately, we had our own celebration here in the lovely state of Maryland.
Good old Dundalk.
Yeah.
Yep.
That was
Dundalk for those of you who are local. if you ever want to look up Dundalk, all you're going to see is a picture of the golden boobies.
And it's a poop plant.
It's a giant poop plant. It smells wonderful. So anyway, with Star Wars in the news, obviously, all you know, podcasts across the world really have delved into what Celebration was about. You guys know it. You've seen it. You've seen the videos. The biggest, obviously, was the trailer for Episode 9.
Episode 9.
The Rise of Skywalker.
I don't know about you guys, but I was stoked.
I loved it.
I was even killed till the laugh at the end. The laugh at the end killed me. I was like, yes, finally, the man returns.
I think it's a lot of misdirection, but yes, I love the laugh. Even the I guess, I don't know, force flip? I don't know. That kind of got me. I wasn't expecting that at all. But I thought that was pretty killer. And yeah, of course, the laugh at the end was...
Well, Kathleen Kennedy said he's back in the flesh. She confirmed that.
JJ confirmed it too. He's back. And then obviously on stage, Ian McDiarmid showing up.
That was hilarious.
You know.
Right?
You
know. I watched that on the live stream.
Ruin it again.
Yeah,
that's great.
That was awesome.
So, of course, it had already inspired me to start building a Palpatine.
Let me tell you, it's going to be the tallest Palpatine ever.
Yep.
I'm not that tall. I'm 6'1".
That's still tall.
Tallest Palpatine ever.
So, with the trailer, obviously you have a buttload of theories that come out. We're going to try to explore over the next few months here some of these theories, see what we get confirmation when a new trailer drops, and maybe we'll get some more hints or clues. Obviously, I think this is the tightest that Disney has been on, you know, closed lip, you know, nothing leaking. I mean, nobody knew about Ian McDiarmid.
No, not at all.
I
think it's tighter than Blue Harvest.
I even heard that what they did for the guy who made the trailer, they gave him 3 titles, and he made 3 different titles for that trailer and didn't tell the guy who made it which one they were using, just to keep it that tight. So even the guy who did know what it was called could have had a 1-3 shot of what it could have been.
Some old school stuff back in like ESB days when they didn't tell anybody what was going on with the whole Vader reveal that Luke's father. Yep. I mean, they didn't know till like that minute of filming. And like when Mark Hamill's reaction to you know, James Earl Jones, like, what?
I know, he knows, and you know. Yeah. And if anybody else hears, we'll know it was you that told him.
Yeah.
But I was shocked with how tight-lipped Disney has been on this. I think it's kind of helped the fan base, though, to try to reinvigorate after The Last Jedi. I think a lot of people really, they're back on board, they're excited, this trailer dropped, and that passion is back.
Definitely.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's crazy. I was expecting... I would put money on that we were going to get a title way before Celebration.
Same here.
With the merchandise, with everything that they sell at Celebration, I thought for sure they'd have to give us a title a week out, even... I think I was predicting 2 months before Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it was like Thanksgiving or Christmas or New Year's or
Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right.
Every week Ryan's like, we're going to get it this week. We're going to get it this week. I'm like,
nope. Ryan's a liar.
Yep. So, with that being said, I say let's jump right into our first Episode 9 theory. Ryan, you've done the research on this one.
Yeah.
Who came up with it?
So, just a little backstory on me. I'm a huge, huge, huge Kevin Smith fan.
Oh,
so, yeah. So, of course, Kevin Smith, who has been in the last... I don't know if he was in Last Jedi, but he was in The Force Awakens as a trooper voice. He, you know, he's been on every set... or at least one set of every movie, the past 2 movies. And so he actually had a theory, but he told everyone. So he was on, he has a podcast called Hollywood Babylon. And on the podcast, he talks with Ralph Gorman about when he went to the set of Star Wars, that he didn't, you know, he couldn't talk about anything. And he said everything that he's talking about prediction-wise is all shot in the dark. You know, and I know Kevin, he wouldn't talk about it if he knew he couldn't. You know, he's friends with J.J.,
Sure.
Yeah, and he even said there's some things JJ knows not to tell me because you just can't. You know, he knows. You know, save me from myself, and you know, JJ knows what to tell me, what not to tell me. So he actually said that his theory of the title Rise of Skywalker is that he thinks the new religion in the Star Wars universe is going to be Skywalker. There's going to be no more Jedi, no more Sith. The new Jedi Order, air quotes, is going to be Skywalker. And he was super excited about that. And I mean, as soon as I heard that, it was the first time I heard that theory. Granted, this was like 2 days after Celebration, his podcast aired, where he talked about it. And I think there's a lot of credibility behind that.
I like it. I mean,
right.
You know, we get in Last Jedi, Luke saying, "Hey, it's time for the Jedi to end." Yoda says, "Yeah, it is." is this, you know, is this the new gray Jedi or whatever it may
no,
be?
No, it's not. Don't say gray Jedi in my presence again. Thank you. God, I hate that. Anyway, again, with that, you have to think about the, you have to think about, okay, this is Nerd wrapping up.
Trigger.
Sorry. God, I hate that term.
Oh, I'm going to use it now.
There could be a red Jedi, and I'd like that better than gray Jedi. Anyway, so...
We don't talk about the color red on this show.
Yeah, it's true, we don't.
Shout out to Dylan.
Somewhere he's getting goosebumps, but you'll learn about that guy later. Anyway, so this is the end of the Skywalker trilogy. So there's a couple things you have to take into consideration when you think about that. You can't have... I don't think... This is my opinion only. You can't have introducing something new at the last segment of the trilogy. So the Rise of Skywalker is, you can't have a new Skywalker come up because, first of all, this is the end of Skywalker saga. You can't have a new Skywalker because anything after that is going to be more Skywalker. And they said, this is it. This is done.
Well, if you think about it, Luke in the film, he says, like, talking about being a legend and how the legend in the name of Skywalker itself is resonates throughout the galaxy. He totally. Was this great thing. Even, I think it was either a comic or a novel, I can't replace it at the moment, where Admiral Thrawn mentioned that Skywalker is an ideology itself. I gotta go back and remember which one it was.
I think that was a novel.
The novel, I think, was it,
Aftermath? No.
Or was it the New Thrawn?
It might have been the New Thrawn.
I have to remember. Don't quote me on this, people. I have to go back and remember, but I know I read it somewhere. And he said Skywalker is an ideology. So Rise of Skywalker could lead to what Ryan's saying here and what Kevin Smith thinks. It could be the rise of the New Order, Skywalker.
And again, with this being the last of the saga, if you're sticking straight with the Star Wars timeline and length of movies, you're only getting about 2.5 hours to wrap this all up. Granted, they could go Endgame style and, you know, make a 3.5-hour, 4-hour movie if they wanted to.
JJ did say it's somewhere between 5 minutes and
four hours.
4 hours. He said it's 90 minutes now without editing. So do we feel like it's going to be over 2 hours?
I think so. I think with Endgame killing it right now, I think if they know that they're going to make the money and people will sit in theaters for it, which, of course, all the super fans would, they could just do a lot of it. Because, I mean, if you think about all the other movies that you get out, look at all the bonus feature they have, all the deleted scenes, all the alternate endings. You take that away and put that in a movie, you're going to get a 3-hour, 4-hour movie. So if they can do that, and with all the reshoots that I'm sure they're going to have with this, you know, you only have that timeline to tell the entire story. You're going to want to make... Star Wars is seamless. Episode 3 to 4, seamless. 6 and 7, with all like the novels and comics and stuff that kind of gap that area, it's still seamless. Like, this has to be a seamless ending. And you're not going to want to rush it. And I think Rise of Skywalker is not going to be a literal term. It's not going to be Rey Skywalker is coming to her bloodline, or Kylo Skywalker is going back to his solo Skywalker bloodline. I think Rise of Skywalker is just what the Resistance is going to turn into.
Yeah.
You know.
So is Rey not the last Jedi? She's the first quote-unquote Skywalker?
I don't know.
That's interesting. That's definitely interesting.
You know, we got Broom Boy.
Broom Boy.
Is Broom Boy going to be a Skywalker?
I think right. Broom Boy just kind of represented all of us. Like, at the end of the day, we're all Skywalkers. And whether, you know, the kid's sweeping up at the end of a movie to, you know, Yoda, at the end of the day, we're all Skywalkers. I think that was what they were kind of trying to hit home with that. But, you know, I've heard stories of the Rise of Skywalker is not Kevin Smith's theory, but another theory that the Rise of Skywalker could be telling us Luke's new power is that he can come back from the Force. The Force can bring him back, and he could, the Rise of Skywalker is, you know, like, you know, Jesus coming back from the dead, resurrecting, you know, and, you know.
Interesting.
So when you hear Rise of Skywalker, you know, we could think, oh, this new religion and Rey's being the first Skywalker, or, you know, or more literal, this is us finding out Luke's more in-depth powers and becoming back from.
Obi-Wan then said to Vader, "You strike me down, I become more powerful than you can ever
imagine." Yeah.
Maybe, like, you know, with Luke on Ahch-To, fully on, like, mastering his Force abilities, mastering the ancient texts, mastering reading, meditating. Maybe he's tapping into a Force, because that is, like, what, the first Jedi temple? Yep. Well, Noctu. Yep.
Yeah. And you remember what he said? Remember he said to Kyle at the end of the movie, "I'll see you around, kid."
Yep.
I was like, ooh, man. It's funny because ever since I've seen the new trailer, I've watched Last Jedi twice. And man, they drive that point home about the Jedi and the Skywalker and me coming in and saving the universe. They like hit that on the hammer. Like, they're like, man, this is, it kind of has more, like, it has more credibility now to be like, they're really talking about like the vanity of the Jedi and how you can control the Force. And I watched it last night. I'm like, man, they're really talking about this.
Yeah. I mean, are we going to see some new Force powers?
I mean, last year, they
said that at Celebration, Ray's going to have new Force powers.
I mean, that weird backwards flip kick thing, whatever that was. I'm like, what the?
I was badass.
It was cool.
I mean, even in The Last Jedi, where like Ray and Kylo were both wet. I'm like, really?
See.
Well, I mean,
along with that, so that whole movie you see Snoke saying that he's connecting them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're connected at the end after Snoke is apparently dead.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
there's something right, there.
Is Snoke not really dead? Was that a Force projection?
Could
I've heard theories where Snoke is a Force projection from Kylo the whole time. It's like his alter ego. He would do his bidding. Even though if you go back and look, there's a lot of times where like he's mad at Snoke, and it's like, is that just him being mad at himself? Or there's so many different theories. From going on websites and listening to podcasts, there's so many theories out there that Snoke was a Force projection of Kylo, or Snoke was a Force projection of Palpatine. Being the puppet master behind the scenes. There's just so much out there.
Yeah. So, we could go into this for hours upon hours. But getting back to, the original theory with Kevin Smith. It ties into Last Jedi. It makes a whole lot of sense. You've got, Broom Boy would even fit into that theory as well. I'm leaning more towards, that's a very plausible theory. I think Rey's going to be kind of the start of that and kind of, get us moving into that direction. Will that tie into the new trilogy? It's years down the road. It's still a Skywalker religion, so to speak. Who knows?
Yep. And they did say the timeline on the movie was some time has passed. Right, they haven't given a specific year.
Right.
I heard anywhere between 1 to 5 years after Last Jedi is when the Rise of Skywalker is going to start. So you can't have Broom Boy being I guess you could have him 11 years old, but I really don't think, especially, being Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams, I don't really think, I think that was more of an ideology. That was more of like a metaphor, having that kid, show him, having the broom come to him with the Force that like, we're all Skywalkers. We're all, we all have a dog in the fight kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that does make sense. Even the little smallest person can make a difference.
Yep.
Gotcha, yeah.
That's kind of always been a theory throughout all of these, Star Wars movies, is that one person can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Not to tag a Marvel line there. But...
and that's another thing with what you just said, is that part of the popularity of Rey is, if JJ names her parents, which I heard could be a possibility for this new movie, does it hold more water knowing that someone who doesn't have any lineage in the Skywalker family could be as powerful as Rey? Or do we need her to be somebody to show off, okay, that's why she's so powerful, that's why she's, pretty much, running with this whole thing? I kind of don't care. I kind of, If you tell me that her parents were just junk dealers, I'm cool with
that's
that.
That's a
right.
Nice looking ship for junk dealers.
We don't know if that was her parents.
I think that's kind of implied. She's standing there with,
Right, because she wouldn't call out to like a random stranger on the ship blasting away. Her parents could have been on that ship.
Yeah, I mean,
they could have been prisoners on that ship.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, it could have been her parents' ship. They just could have been on it. Yeah, that's true.
So it'll be interesting to see. Does it hold more weight that has lineage?
Like Rey Nothing or Rey Skywalker?
I mean, you got a nothing.
Rey Kenobi!
Oh, God. I can't make fun of you because I thought about that as soon as I walked out of Force Awakens.
But hey, somebody did a great job impersonating, Alec Guinness, or they just found the snippet of a word that he said.
Right.
and put Rey in there.
Well, no, he was saying don't be afraid, and they cut out afraid and just used that Rey. That's how they did that.
Yeah.
Kind of love technology.
I know. When I heard that, and then I went back and listened, I'm like, he's totally saying, don't be afraid. Remember, he's like, don't be afraid. He's talking to R2. Don't be afraid. And they took that afraid.
Oh, he'll be cut, all right.
Cut it out, and it says, Rey.
Come here, my little friend.
Yep. Don't be afraid.
So, I mean, think about it. If Rey ends up being the start of this new Skywalker religion, and she came from nothing to something, I mean, that's the American dream.
Yep.
I mean, that's what,
that's a Tatooine dream right there, baby. Yeah.
If Disney wants to promote something like that, I could see them doing that. Nothing to, leader of the galaxy.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
Interesting. Huh. All right. Well.
We got 6 to 8 months of mindless speculations. Yeah.
When do we think the next trailer is going to drop?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Are we going to get 2 or are we going to get 3?
I think they all have us by a fishing hook right now with that Palpatine laugh.
Oh, yeah.
I don't feel like they're going to have to do all this promotion. I feel like you're going back to the popularity of The Force Awakens when we didn't have a Star Wars movie for so long. Now we're getting the end of it. They don't really have to, do all this promotion. I mean, I guess they have to, but I don't feel like we're going to need the official trailer. That's got to have to happen. The one that they show a month before that, we're going to get. So I don't know if there's gonna be another teaser trailer. Honestly, it could just be this.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember how many did we get for. I think Force Awakens or Last Jedi.
I think we got 2 teasers for each. Mm-hmm. I think it was 2.
Mm-hmm. So,
excluding the international ones and excluding the official ones, I think teaser trailers 1:15. I think it was 2 each.
All right, so realistically, another 4 months till we get something. So could we get. Be. 4 months of mindless speculation.
I feel like
unless you start dropping toy lines.
Well, that's going to be
Force. That's another mindless speculation. Well, you get a toy line. Here you go.
Did you hear about what they're doing Force Friday this year?
No.
Force Friday is going to be in September. September 30th.
Okay. Sure.
But what they're doing is, this Force Friday, not only are we getting Rise of Skywalker line, we're getting Mandalorian, and we're getting... We're getting Mandalorian, Rise of Skywalker, and we're getting Clone Wars Saved. They're doing all 3. It's all going to drop on Force Friday.
Damn. Oh,
wow. We're going to be busy trooping then.
It's going to be.
Wow. Yeah. Cool.
So Force Friday this year is going to be a trifecta.
Right. Nothing for Resistance?
Yeah.
Have they done anything for Resistance?
Well, it's season 2.
There's toy lines for Resistance.
Yeah, I have.
Because I know you were looking for that one. I kind of photoshopped it.
Looking for the red pilot.
I got them. Nice. But Resistance is going to come back in 6 months. This guy got greenlit it for... I listened to a little bit of the panel for Resistance at Celebration.
I'm wondering how much this new movie's going to attach, tie into what you see in Resistance. It seems pretty canon, pretty in sync with it.
Speaking of which, sorry, this just popped in my head, that TIE Interceptor, it's not Kylo's.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
It's not Kylo's.
I think that's why they purposely did not show Kylo's face.
Exactly. They said the markings on the ship are different than the one in Last Jedi. Yeah,
because that interceptor that they showed in the trailer, it has a round pod. Kylo's is more squarish in the front.
Yeah. Yep.
And JJ did say, TIE Interceptor is going to be a big, huge thing in this movie.
And I heard that the gloves that they showed when they're thinking it's Kylo hitting accelerator going forward. They said that forward motion that he was making on that could be from some other shot, from some other ship that he's in. So, those are Kylo's gloves, but no one's saying that he's in that ship.
Yeah. Could it be Palpatine in the ship?
Well, I don't think so, but who knows? Yeah.
Who knows?
Could it be Vader returning? Could he be the Skywalker that's rising?
Oh, God.
You're killing Ryan here.
Jeremy just wants another 7 Vader movies.
Come on. Tell me that
his agenda is coming through the microphone right now. Uh-huh.
Disney, listen up. Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy, listen up, please. For the love of God, between Episode 3 and Rogue One, there is 19 years of Vader going off on people. Make the movie, please.
Well, I didn't like the 30 seconds that we got in Rogue One.
Oh, that was like, oh my God, that's the Vader that the galaxy has come to fear. Make that movie, please. Yeah,
that was pretty great.
Right.
Yeah.
But what they said was, another thing, going back to Kevin Smith, was that so many people were complaining about how crazy everyone went when they saw Lando behind the thing. And he says, yeah, well, they're just complaining about fan service. And it says, guess what? we've been doing this for 40 years. We're going to give you fan service. Like, stop looking at fan service as a negative thing, as more of a positive thing. Like,
right.
We all, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I got a little misty when I saw Lando.
Oh, right, yeah. Right.
When I saw Lando behind the cockpit of the Falcon. Like, I think it's
us older, old school guys, mm-hmm. that were proud to see Lando back.
Yeah.
Because we grew up with Lando. Yep. We love Lando.
I mean, in the middle of Last Jedi, when they're on the radio looking for people to come help them, everyone kept saying, what happened to Lando? Why isn't he helping you? I mean, Princess Leia, he's your at the end of Return of the Jedi, he's your clapping buddy partying with the Ewoks. Right. What happened to that guy?
Yeah. Right.
So I think it's really cool that he's in the new movie, and they're gonna tie up that end, whether he lives, dies, they're still tied up that he came back to help. So
yeah. And it was so cool seeing him behind the
controls
of the Falcon.
Did you watch the live stream at Celebration, him talking in the panel?
Yep.
Man.
Yeah.
Couldn't you get any cooler than that? When that guy asked him, you know, was it hard getting back to the character of Lando? And he said, he never left.
Right, exactly.
Oh my God, I lost
it. Dude, that's right. Such an iconic voice.
Oh, dude, I love it.
Yeah, love Billy Dee Williams. Cannot wait to see him. This is a swan song.
Yep.
It's going to be great.
And I don't care if he's in it for 5 minutes, half hour, 40, whatever. Like, just give me what you're going to give me. Like,
yep.
I'm cool with that.
Cool. All right, well, I think we're good on the Kevin Smith theory. We'll see how it pans out. It should be, we got 8 months to speculate on it.
And we were going to do it.
Yeah, so cool. Next week, we're going to hit a new theory. Or next week, next month, we'll hit a new theory.
Right.
Charles, you want to give us a quick preview?
Yes, the theory of Lord Mormon, I keep pronouncing his name right. It was an old Sith architect artist who was able to, like, when he died, he was able to put his essence into a mask, and anybody who picked up that mask became him. Maybe Plagueis and, you know, Palpatine learned of his secret to bring him back from the dead, as into Episode 9. Learned his secret episode. We'll delve a little bit more into that for the next cast.
Interesting.
I got some bits to bring out for that, so you guys just have to hang tight. We'll get it to you.
Good deal. All right, with that, we're going to wrap this section of the show. All right, I am here with Andrew McCleary, armor maker. We're going to get to know him a little bit, what he's passionate about. Andrew, how are you?
Pretty good.
Glad you could join us on the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your company?
Well, I actually got into this in kind of a unique way. I've got a degree in architecture, and out of school went into computer graphics many, many years ago, too many years ago, when computer graphics were new. So I've been doing CAD and graphic work for many, many years. From that, I actually got into becoming a television producer and used to produce a television show called Car Show TV, which was a local television show down here in South Florida that covered custom cars.
All right. And so I got to ask, are you a Ford, a Chevy, Dodge, or exotic?
Oh, you know, I there's things I like about all of them. I've had numerous Mustangs, and I've also had Corvettes. But there's a lot of cars I would like to own that can't afford. So. but I really like the customs, actually, the most. So the hot rods, the customized cars. I enjoy seeing what people can do with a car to customize it.
Good deal.
And I actually built an all-electric GT40.
Oh, wow.
Years ago. So it was one of the first ones out there on the road electric. We built it right after the original Tesla was built. And I actually had a company called High Voltage Hot Rods for a little while trying to see if the electric world was ready for custom electric hot rods. Unfortunately, they weren't quite yet. But
I think it's coming soon, though.
Yeah. But anyway, to make a long story short, to how I got into this, my son was diagnosed with cancer 3 years ago. And I've always been a huge Star Wars fan since I was a little kid. And in fact, my office is I collected Star Wars models, so I had like, you know, 50 to 100 Star Wars models that would hang from my ceiling in my office. And my kids grew up with Star Wars. As soon as they were old enough, you know, we went. And it was always something that we kind of shared as a family. But when my son was diagnosed with cancer, he wasn't going to be able to go to school anymore when he was in chemo. So we came up with this idea to build an R2-D2 together as a way to learn robotics. He was 16 when this happened, and so we began building this R2-D2 together. Unfortunately, as he started into chemo, he really just became too weak and just lost interest in, you know, in building. And so I built the R2-D2 at night. I would come home from the hospital and I would work on R2-D2 until 2 or 3 in the morning because I couldn't sleep.
So I guess it became a labor of love for you, huh?
It became a labor of love for me. And R2 then, once he was finished, or when, I say they're never finished, but once he was mobile, made trips to the hospital with my son and would sometimes sit outside his door and also go around and visit the other kids on the floor. And everybody there kind of knew about me. And one day the 501st came in to the hospital and they went around. And I wasn't there, unfortunately, but my wife was. And, you know, my son actually got out of bed to take pictures with a Wookiee and, you know, he was smiling, and then my wife told me, you know, how great these guys were going around, you know, with the other kids, and how the kids all enjoyed it, and really the power of what they were doing. And I'm kind of like, you know, hey, that's really cool. At the time, Rogue One had just released its trailers, and I saw the Death Troopers, and kind of fell in love with that outfit, that costume.
It's one of the best. It's just so mean looking.
It was mean looking and sexy and just, I mean, it was cool. And so I started working on a Death Trooper at the time and was working on helmets and then started working on the blasters. And my oldest son and I had actually made a 3D printer together while my youngest son was in the hospital. And we were using the 3D printer to print parts for R2-D2. Well, I started printing blasters for the Death Troopers and started with the SC-14R and then the E-11D. And I would make these and would, you know, using my skills on what I had, you know, like I said, I've been doing this for 20 years in the television business with computer graphics. So I was able to 3D print, you know, make the CAD parts, 3D print them, and then I'm an artist too, so I was able to paint them highly realistic. I started posting them out there on the build forum, and people started buying them from me. So it kind of grew into a business. Oh, and by the way, I had to quit my job as a television producer because I couldn't keep a schedule, a normal schedule anymore.
Right.
Because of my son. So I started selling blasters at night. I would make them at night, and I would sell blasters, and this was kind of how we made a little bit of extra money to help support us while my son was going through all this. And we were originally the treatment was supposed to be for 1 year. And as we were getting toward the end of 1 year, I was looking at, well, what can I do to kind of, as a job, to kind of keep going, hoping that he was going to be done with chemo. And so I started building the armor as well. And at the time, the CRL had just dropped for the Death Trooper. So, you know, we knew at that point a lot more details than we did the previous year when I started making blasters. So I started making the armor, and one of the things that everybody was out there, a lot of people were 3D printing the armor at this point. And my first set of armor for the 501st that I, let me kind of rewind a little bit. I actually ended up doing a Make-A-Wish event a few weeks after I got my R2-D2 going for a boy that had leukemia. And while I was there, I ended up meeting the guys from the 501st who had come and visited the hospital. And so I got to meet a lot of these guys with their helmets off and, you know, found out what nice guys they were and everything. And I said, I'm gonna join the 501st, and I'm going to be a death trooper. And they all looked at me like I was crazy and said, you know, how about you try an officer first? It's a lot easier to do. And I'm like, you know, you don't really know me well enough yet. Just wait. So I showed up about 2 months later at SuperCon in a full Death Trooper costume, and I had just sent my my photos in for to be approved. I showed up a few months later in a full 3D printed Death Trooper costume, and I had just sent in my photos to be approved, and everybody's like, "Holy cow, dude! You know, where did you get this? Where did you get this kit? We didn't know that there were, you know, Death Trooper costumes out there really yet." And I'm like, "Well, I made it myself." And by the way, I think I was like number 11 or 12, as far as the number of approved costumes. Oh no, wait, actually, I was number 8.
I remember seeing pictures and everybody announcing it.
Yeah, so I was like number 8, and a couple of the guys in my squad's like, you know, "Hey, can you make me one?" And I'm like, "Sure." Well, the thing is, I quickly found that the 3D printed plastic was just really not strong enough to troop the way I wanted to troop. I wanted to be able to bend down and, you know, shake hands with kids and sit down, and I didn't really want to walk around like a plastic doll, which is what kind of what I felt with the 3D printed one.
Gotcha.
So, because of my experience with working with custom cars, I already knew quite a bit about fiberglass and making fiberglass car parts. So basically, I took my 3D printed kit and I made a mold of it, and we made the first kits out of fiberglass. We used a gel coated fiberglass, so, you know, pretty much right out of the molds, you know, they were pretty much, the pieces were ready to go. I mean, they didn't require that much sanding and that much work before you had, you know, you could put paint on them.
Fantastic.
And the other thing is that it, you know, it felt like real armor. I can go out and I can bump into people. I can kneel. I sit down. The stomach plate makes it a little tough to bend when you're sitting down, but like on a stool or something, I can sit down on the butt plate and it's plenty strong and won't crack.
That's always the true test of a 501st stormtrooper. Can they kneel and can they sit?
Yes, exactly. And so, you know, and I just grew it from there. And I you know, that was, I don't know, what, about a year and a half or so ago. And he began helping. My youngest son was getting better for a while, and he was helping me in my shop. And I was really kind of looking forward to him and I working together. Then, unfortunately, last November, he passed away. He had a problem with, it was a complication because the bone marrow transplant that he got, he did not have a perfect match because we were unable to find a perfect match for it. And so right now, I mean, my wife and I, we continue to support ourselves at the moment, still making armor and blasters, helmets, and we do both the Mud Troopers and the Death Troopers. Those are kind of our two specialties, though I do take on some custom stuff now and then.
So how can folks get a hold of you if they're interested in your products?
I have a website called The Plastic Arms Dealer, and we're available on Facebook on Plastic Arms Dealer, as well as plasticarmsdealer.com. And I'm always online usually and can answer people, answer questions if they've got any questions. You know, we pride ourselves in trying to help people out. So it's, you know, when they buy our products, not only, you know, I ship it off to them quickly, but we, if they have any questions, I try to help them out as well. So we just don't drop it on them and leave them alone.
Well, that's great. It's rare that you find quality customer service, unfortunately, this day and age, but glad to see that it's not dead in the industry.
Yeah, and we usually try to keep one or two costumes in stock all the time, so that you know, delivery is usually pretty quick. Unless somebody wants something custom, we can usually, you know, get it out the door within a week. And you know, that way we're not. At the beginning, when I first started this, we had some issues with you know, taking on too many orders and them getting behind, and I won't ever do that again. So if you order from us, you're going to get it pretty quickly.
Fantastic. So I know you had mentioned your son quite a bit. Obviously, he seems to be one of your biggest passions for the 501st, and I understand that you've taken that one step further.
Well, you know, like I said, we lost him in November. In January, my oldest son decided to do a bone marrow drive up at his university, at Embry-Riddle University in Daytona, and to honor his brother, his younger brother. And we went up to help him, and one of the things that I quickly found when I was working at the booth, when we were taking registries for people, is that how few people actually, number one, knew what a bone marrow transplant was, and number two, which is really important, how easy it is to register and donate. People have this perception that, you know, because they call it a transplant, people think that as a donor, they're like cutting out bones or some really invasive surgery to donate bone marrow. And the reality is it's not that way anymore. It's a very simple procedure. In most cases, it's very similar to giving blood. It only takes a few hours. You go home and afterwards, and you're fine the next day, and pretty much anything that was that you gave up regrows within a couple of weeks. And other than being tired for a few days, that's about it. But it saves somebody's life. And registering is even easier than that. It's just swabbing the inside of your cheek with a cotton swab, dropping it in an envelope, and sending it off. And so when I found this out, I was thinking, you know, how can I help other kids that are out there that are in the same situation as my son? And the problem why my son ended up passing away was that he was not able to find a perfect match. Only 2% of the population is even registered.
Whew.
The odds of any one person being called on to be a donor is like 1 in 300. So even if you sign up and register today, the chance of you actually donating to somebody is 1 in 300. So you can kind of start looking there at the odds are pretty small for finding a good match. Your best chance is usually within the family, but even within the family, it's only a 30% chance. And unfortunately, my oldest son was not a match for my youngest son. So we ended up having to use what's called a haploid donor, which is a 50% match. And unfortunately, my son ended up getting a complication called graft versus host disease, which essentially is that his new blood began rejecting his lungs. And it can be, in the case of my son, it was lungs. Other kids that have GVHD, it could be, you know, your liver, it could be your heart, it could be any organ in your body that, you know, essentially the new blood sees it as a danger. Still there?
Yep, I'm still here, just listening to you.
So I started looking at this, and I got this idea, and Alvin Johnson, as everybody knows, lost his daughter as well to cancer. And so I reached out to Albin and I said, look, you know, here's the thing. It's the 501st is probably the most diverse group of people that you can ever meet. I mean, we have people from every single country. Nobody cares about race. So we have them from, you know, all walks of life. And that is exactly the group that we need to become registered to be donors. And I said, let's do essentially a bone marrow education campaign with the 501st this year and get the word out that registering is easy.
Fantastic.
And he loved the idea and immediately put me in touch with command staff. And then Carl reached out to me and put me in touch with the guys at the 501st, and they loved the idea so much that they invited me to come up to Celebration. I originally wasn't planning to go to Celebration because at the time when the tickets were on sale, my son was in the hospital. So they arranged for me to get tickets and invited me to speak on a panel on charities at Celebration. And we also had agreed that we would make our first public service announcement video with the 501st to debut at that panel.
That's awesome.
So, you know, I contacted my squad down here, the Everglades squad, and they all agreed to help out. And then I reached out to Holtz Children's Hospital in Miami, where my son had been, and they all agreed to help out. So really within like a week, which is, I mean, trying to get something like this done in a week is pretty unheard of, particularly with all the releases and everything else that have to happen. But everything came together, and we went down to Miami to the hospital, and we did a troop down there at the bone marrow transplant wing. And it was the first time I had been back to that hospital, so it was very hard. But we basically put together this first video, and you can find that video on our website. And we've also, to help do this with, this is the first video we produced, which I produced out of my own pocket. But the idea is that essentially we're going to partner with the 501st and try to do a number of videos over the course of the year. And I set up a foundation called Caring Like Nicholas. So you can go to caringlikenicholas.org to find out more about us. But the whole idea of this foundation is to produce or to partner with groups and produce educational material on bone marrow donation.
That's a absolute noble cause. I know you've got at least three members up here of the Old Line Garrison in Maryland. You have our support. Any way we can help, absolutely. We'll definitely join your cause. So just let us know how we can help. Give us the website one more time.
It's caringlikenicholas.com. And the Nicholas is spelled, .org. caringlikenicholas.org. And Nicholas is NICHOLAS. And from there, you can find out more information on how you can become a donor. You can find out information how you can help. And I will be getting back together with the command staff of the 501st, and we're going to be kind of making plans on what we can do throughout the rest of the year and essentially being proactive here to try saving kids. We already do a lot of work with Make-A-Wish, which everybody, I mean, that's a great organization. But this is something we can all work with, and it doesn't cost anything. You know, you can go out to a website and you can register, and you can sign up to register. They'll basically send you a kit with a cotton swab and an envelope. You swab the inside of your cheek, you drop it in the envelope, and you're registered. And you know, you just never know when one day you might get a phone call that you get a chance to be a real hero.
That's I love it. Absolutely love it. Definitely, we here at Less Than 12 Parsecs will help out any way we can. I think you joined the 501st for the right reasons. Very similar to how several of us join. Bringing joy and just a little bit of life to some of those kids who have to go through something so terrible that no child should have to go through. But, you know, I applaud you. I appreciate what you do for those kids. And what you're going to continue to do through this this charity and you know, this education, it's fantastic. So, hats off to you.
Thank you.
We definitely appreciate it. Again, what's the, it's Plastic Arms Dealer?
PlasticArmsDealer.com.
Fantastic.
And CaringLikeNicholas.org.
Awesome. Andrew, I really appreciate your time on the show. Have a happy May the 4th.
Yeah, you too.
All right, get out there trooping. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Oh, my bad, man.
It's all good.
Oh, it is heavy.
It does have a good
Well, energy. Welcome to my favorite part of the show, the Cantina Review. Cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. So those people who aren't looking at us right now, we are sampling Black Flag Brewery's new hazy IPA, Nerf Herder. And I'm not gonna lie, guys, I had a 4-pack the other night, so I've done my research well. So this is a hazy IPA. It's a 7% ABV, and I'm just reading you a little nerdy facts on the website about this beer. So a force is awakening in our rotating hoppy beers. We have left the comfort of Citra behind, preparing our newcomers to shine Idaho 7 and the Econaut, supported by a touch of Mosaic. This is the first time that they've used Idaho 7 and the first time that the Econaut will play such a heavy role in this beer. Will they come to the light side or be overcome by the dark side? I think it's just a great beer overall. I'm a big fan of IPAs, even bigger fan of hazy IPAs, and this just hits all the spots. It's not heavy, but it's not light. It's the hoppiest hazy I've ever had.
To say it's hoppy is an understatement. They have pictures of the hops
in the background.
In the background of the can. Mm-hmm. It adds a different note to the flavor. It's not fruity, but it's organic.
I think that's the Econaut hop that they're talking about. It's not usually used in most hazy IPAs. And like I said, I love hops, so if you're going to put hops in anything, I'm going to love it. So that's why I think I like it more. Other than me, I really haven't... You guys are the only ones that have actually personally tasted next to me, so I didn't really get any too much insight from people sitting at the bar or, you know, my brothers. We all drink the same kind of beers, and they haven't had this yet, so they haven't put their two cents in yet.
It's smooth.
Real smooth.
There's not a bitter aftertaste you expect from a really hoppy beer.
It's definitely not bitter.
Yeah.
No. And the cool thing, I love hazy IPAs are great in the summertime because it just goes down like water. It's just refreshing. It's just a summer beer completely.
Right. Absolutely. Nail on the head right there. Summer beer.
Yeah. Like I said, we're inside right now, but just imagine being on your back deck, a little bit of breeze, just sitting back, feet up.
Some armor.
Yeah. This just hits the spot.
And, it does. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And with the 7% APV, it doesn't taste like 7%.
No, it doesn't have a strong, like alcohol.
Like I drank four the other night because, you know, I have to start to finish.
Research.
Yeah, that's what I do. I start and I finish. So I wasn't crazy buzzed. I wasn't, you know, it was a good drink. They just went down. There's a hole in the bottom of my can, I guess, because they went down quick. But yeah, great beer.
I definitely, I'm digging it. I'm not typically a huge IPA fan. But this, without that bitterness that you usually get or you know, that strong taste. I mean, this is really smooth.
Yep.
You know, almost like a floral note to it.
Right.
It's not fruity, but not floral, you know, but it's interesting. I like it.
Yeah. It tastes like it's not like mass produced.
It's not.
It has actually has some body to it. It's like it has, not like you're running the mill, like, oh, we'll get me some Budweiser, hey. No, you drink this, you're like, okay, I can taste this, I can taste that. It gives you, like, a little bit more sense of, like, you're drinking something decent instead of, like, some crap.
Water.
And with it not being a mass-produced thing, that's the only thing I don't like about this beer, is that for a four-pack, it's like I said, it's a craft beer. It's locally brewed here in Maryland, Columbia, Maryland. And it is $17.99 for a four-pack.
Jesus!
Woo, buddy.
So, yeah, I dropped almost $40 buying 2 4-packs.
But this isn't a 12-ounce can.
No, 16. It's a pint.
So it's a pint.
Yeah.
It's a pint, bloody fool.
But, yeah, so like I said, the only thing I don't like about this beer is the price, but guess what? I'm still going to keep buying it because
it's good. I mean, it's not something you're going to sit back and you're going to pound a ton of these.
Yeah.
You know, this is something you're sitting around a campfire, I don't know, maybe with a big blow-up movie screen watching Solo outside.
Right.
You know,
with a good Cajun beer to get with your friends, like I said, building armor, watching Solo out back with your friends.
Doing a podcast.
Yes, doing a podcast. It's not something you're going to be drinking every day because that's going to hurt your wallet real quick.
Oh, yeah.
But it's still good.
It's a good sipping beer, just to sip, you know.
Mm-hmm. So the first one, I usually like my IPAs out of glasses as opposed to cans or bottles. Right. So the first one I poured into a glass, and oh, man, it's even better in a glass.
I tell you what, even though this beer is cold, it doesn't taste like ice cold like some of the more like watered down beers.
Right.
So you're getting full flavor with
it. It holds the coldness good without being like, you know, where you have to put it down because it's so cold on your hands.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, and this is from Black Flag Brewery, and they've I tried to look it up online, but I'm not that great of a researcher. But I think they've only been around for like 3 years, and it's local. And the first time I went to this brewery, it was by my work, and I saw the brewery opened up, and I said, I got to go and check it out. As I walk in, on the left-hand side is a huge mural of the classic scenes of Star Wars. And on the first, you see the who shot first Greedo Han Solo scene painted in the mural. And in Star Wars font, it says Black Flag Brewery. And that's been up since they opened up. And ever since then, I've been like, I love this place. So as soon as I found out they were doing the Nerf Herder release, I'm like, well, I will be there the day it opened. So they opened at 4. I was there at 4:05, and I was one of the first people to buy the first couple 4-packs.
Nice.
And I'm so glad I did because I'm going back and buying some more.
Nice.
So as you guys know, this is our Cantina review. We're going to tell you personal opinions, what we like in the beer, try to be as objective as we can. If you have a Star Wars-related beer...
Or drink.
Or cocktail.
Or drink.
Or cocktail.
Cocktail. I think our next show, we will be reviewing a absolute planet destroyer, a.k.a. a liver destroyer.
It's going to destroy my liver.
Oh, it's going to be brutal. It's called the Death Star. There's like 3-4 different liquors in it. It's going to kick our butts. But hey, you know, that's the goal. Hey, it's a Star Wars related drink.
That's what we do here on Less Than 12 Parsecs.
We drink.
And destroy Ryan's liver.
And throw Star Wars in there every once in a while.
Yeah.
Now, to answer your question, Black Flag Brewery opened in summer of 2016.
How'd you find that so quick?
I can find everything.
Get off my lawn.
Get off my lawn.
Charles is old. He's been doing this longer than me.
Rob will tell you that. Rob will come out and say, I need to find it. 2 seconds later, I found it. I was like, how do you do that? The Force is strong with you.
Google is a wonderful thing.
So, unfortunately, this, for people listening outside the local area, you really can't get this anywhere else. So, sorry, we're kind of teasing you. I put this picture up on the 501st Coin Traders page, and I had a couple requests from people in New York and Florida saying, you need to send me some my way. But, sorry, can't do that. But if you ever find yourself in Maryland, or especially around this time of year, I think they're going to, from what I can taste, they're going to keep doing this because, man, it's good.
Yep, and, you know, big shout out to Black Flag Brewery.
Well, let's edit that out.
I can't even call it right now.
How about we edit that out?
Yeah, let's edit. Yeah, no, that's not going anywhere.
Nope.
That's going to be our intro line now, me screwing something up. But no, hey, shout out to them. Make more and start shipping it across the country. So,
endless for your podcast.
Yeah.
Well, another cool thing about this brewery is that they really specialize. They don't talk about it, but since they've opened, I've been going there. They pretty much specialize in IPAs, which is right up my alley because I'll drink IPAs all year long. So,
and no, we are not sponsored by the Black Flag Brewery or Nerf Herder Beer. Not that we're not open to it.
But, I mean, we do need a sponsor for the show.
That's a mystery. Anyway, no, this is just, we drink it, we call it like we see it. I'm sure we'll have some great reviews, some that'll be, who knows, Death Star might kick our butts and say, yeah, no. We'll find out. If you have any suggestions for us, hit us up at 12parsecspodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at Less Than 12 Parsecs. Hit us up. Give us some drinks to try. We'll gladly sit here and drink more and talk about it.
All right, boys. Cool. Well, cheers until the next review.
I think that wraps up the cantina. Cheers.
1, 2, 3. Yep.
All right, fellas. Well,
that was pretty good.
That's episode one.
Nice. Episode one in the bank. Pretty good.
I like it. You know, hopefully the listeners, you guys enjoyed it. If you have suggestions, comments, please hit us up. Facebook's probably the easiest, Less Than 12 Parsecs, or 12parsecspodcast@gmail.com. Give us some suggestions. We're happy to appease the fan base.
Yep.
We're hoping that Disney decides to do the same with, you know, this episode 9. Because I believe a whole lot of people would say with episode 8, they didn't. They did that for them. We'll see. It'll be interesting. Hope you enjoyed episode 1. For now, this is Less Than 12 Parsecs, signing off.
See ya.
See ya.